So as we left off 2 weeks ago, we're going to be looking, not tonight, we're going to be pausing, but God willing, next week, and then a couple weeks following, we'll be finishing up the book of Revelation, chapter 20, 21, and 22. But chapter 20 is so important. There's so much there. I wanted to have enough time to work through it with you. And tonight, I wanted to do something else, so I'm going to punt and try to come back to that next Wednesday. But tonight, I want to reflect on something else together, just really honestly in light of the last 24 hours. I'm going to be looking at a few different psalms, and so you might turn to the book of Psalms, but I'll be referencing them. We're not going to be looking at a text expositionally like we often would. But I was having a conversation with someone, I guess it was yesterday. And Joy and I have had the opportunity to live in a few different places. And so we have, when we lived in Louisiana, we lived right in the heart of sort of Hurricane Alley, if you will, right? I grew up in California, and I remember in the late 80s when there was the Loma Prieta earthquake that dropped the Bay Bridge and did some significant work. I grew up, if you will, in Earthquake Alley. There's no such thing. But you get the idea, where earthquakes can destroy a whole city, like they did in the early 1900s with San Francisco. Earthquakes can be pretty scary. Apparently, we had an earthquake here yesterday, by the way, 2.7 or something, which you can't really feel. At least I wouldn't feel it, but that's also very interesting. When we lived in Missouri, that's right on the edge of Tornado Alley. And before, like within a couple months before I moved to Missouri for the first time when I was 19, there's a little town called, I'm blanking on it. We met someone recently, actually, who had been living there. It'll come to me. Anyway, within 2 seasons, so 1 season and the next season, the town was completely destroyed, 2 years in a row. I mean, completely destroyed. So they rebuilt the whole thing, the next town completely destroyed. Did you say it? No, not Joplin. Joplin's had it really bad too. That was a few years later. It's up north of Joplin. Anyway, it might come to me. There's a big lake there that I used to fish at. Anyway, so we've kind of lived in each of those places, right? And then here, I mean, we've kind of right on the edge, right? We get hurricane weather. Thankfully, we're not right on the edge, but we get flooding apparently. We get flooding in other places, right? There are parts of the country where we have wildfire. Anyway, I'm laying all this out to say, in each of those places where I've lived, like for instance, when I lived in California and I was moving to Missouri, people said, "Oh, you're moving out there? That's Tornado Alley. Like, aren't you afraid of that?" I would never live where there are tornadoes like that. And so, they say the same thing about earthquakes in California. And then people, "Oh, that's interesting." When I lived in Louisiana, they would say the same thing about earthquakes or about this or about that. And like here, we might say the same thing about this or that. But what you realize, what we were reminded of yesterday, number one, life is unpredictable. We do not control our own destinies. We do not control even our path home, as I found out yesterday. Jackson and I were going down Monte Vista, and we had just driven through like 30 minutes earlier. We were with a bike shop. We were dropping off his little bicycle. We were coming back. And within that 35 minutes maybe, what was a road with a little tiny bit of water running over it, when I came back, it was up to the top of a fire hydrant, rushing through. And I'm not talking about a little bit. I mean, some of you might have even seen the same road. I mean, it had to be at least 50 feet wide. Massive water rushing over the road. Thankfully, it didn't take the road with it. Sometimes it'll tear up that asphalt. And so literally, I was stuck. I could not get home. I had planned to just go and drive home. And I'll be honest with you, again, having lived in places where extreme weather of different sorts is normal, when I hear flood warnings, I just kind of go, "Ah, we have a flood warning." In Missouri, you're always in a tornado warning from like April through, I don't know, June. And so tornado warning, you don't even bother with it. Unless there's one on the ground in your town, you don't even pay attention. And so I'm actually going to be more cautious with that now. I got to be honest with you. So yesterday, I'm reminded of that. Maybe a few of you were reminded of that. So I couldn't go forward to go home. And so I thought, "Okay, we'll turn around. We'll go back to the church. We'll wait this out." Maybe a half mile down the road. Now, it's not quite as high, but it was a good 12 to 14 inches. And I thought, "Okay, I could try to risk it, but I'm going to wait for one of those big trucks to try it first." So I let a couple of people go around me. And this big F-250, I mean, the big dogs barely made it through. I thought, okay, I'm just going to wait here. And so both sides of Monta Vista are closed off, so I just backed into someone's driveway that I knew was up high. I looked for a high driveway. I just backed into his driveway. He eventually was like, hey, that's my house. So I had to let him in. But we're sitting there in his driveway, and I knew that the road going down, someone mentioned it earlier, it's the one that goes back down to the shopping center and such. There's the Methodist Church and all that down there. Asbury. I knew that that road was probably either just maybe it was volume or what, but everybody was coming back. So that made me think, okay, I bet you there's some, you know, there's obstruction down there too. So we sat there for a while, finally able to make through. Long story short, we ended up waiting in a parking lot for 2.5 hours, didn't we, buddy? And we just, you know, made do and chit-chatted and had some good talks and got some pizza from Little Caesars and just waited it out. That little episode yesterday, and maybe this is true for many of you, and this was certainly true when we lived in Louisiana and in times I've lived other places, certainly have I got to see one tornado up close in person. We lived in Missouri. It reminds us that we are not in control. And it's not like you can just say, oh, I'm going to move to this region. You can move up north. You know what they have? Blizzards. You know, down here we get 12 inches. We'd call that a blizzard, wouldn't we? Up there they get feet of snow so heavy it will cave in your roof. Like, it's insane. I could never live somewhere where it's 40 below. No matter where you go, you can try to avoid all these things. You can do all the things to make your life secure, and you can have all the money in the bank that you think you have, and you can think everything is set, and then you have a heart attack, right? It's just incredible. We are not in control. And yet God's word reminds us over and over and over again that he is. And it's a word of comfort. Yesterday it was about weather. Other times it's about money or about sickness or a whole host of different things. About relationships and the trauma of that, divorce, whatever it might be, life can seem out of control. Yesterday it was weather. And yet God's word comforts us, encourages us, welcomes us to take peace in the fact that God is in control. I just picked out a few different psalms. We could look at a whole bunch. But I naturally go to the book of Psalms. I love the way that it declares it so well. God's hand in providential care over the weather, over this planet. In Psalm 147, verse 8, I'm just going to read just a few. Psalm 147, verse 8 says this. Who covers, it's speaking here rhetorically, who covers the heavens with clouds? Who provides rain for the earth? Who makes grass grow on the mountains? The next chapter over. Psalm 148, verse 8. Fire and hail, so the extreme things, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Creation responds to his word. You remember that's how he actually created. By the word of his own power, God speaks and things come into existence. God speaks and his creation fulfills his word. Psalm 135, verse 7. Says he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, who brings forth the wind from his treasuries. So a poetic way to say God keeps the wind, and when he wants it, he sends it out. Speaking poetically here. Another Old Testament book really sounds very much like the Psalms, but in this one, in the book of Zechariah, it's really an exhortation to go to the God who controls and holds this earth in his hands. Zechariah 10, verse 1, and I'm glad to send these to you if you would like. Zechariah 10, 1 says, ask rain from the Lord at the time of the spring rain. Pause. In the Middle East, rain is a pretty special gift. Okay, so when rain comes, it's like, thank you, Lord, our crop's not going to fail this year. Ask rain from the Lord at the time of the spring rain, the Lord who makes the storm clouds. And he will give them showers of rain, vegetation in the field to each man. So we remember that this earth is the Lord's. And yet, even as I implied and you suggested in my prayers, things are not as they should be, right? The language that the Apostle Paul uses in Romans is that the earth is groaning for redemption. That in Genesis 3, the world we live in, post-Genesis 3, this world is broken. It is not as it should be. And thus, hurricanes and earthquakes and tornadoes and all the different things, floodwaters that within a matter of 20 minutes can come up high enough to sweep a car away. And yet God has not left the earth to spin on its own. God has not left the earth to be destroyed utterly, but he preserves it. And he preserves it in a way that should comfort us, in a way that should give us grounding, that even in the midst of, can I think about it, those people that are in Oregon or Northern California or Colorado, where there are these wildfires burning, that yet they are not completely out of control. And as the hurricane or the tropical storm hits Florida and comes up this way, that it is not outside of God's control. We can pray to him. God knows, God sees. And there's a way that he redeems even chaos. The way that the word that is often used, I won't bore you with a lot of Hebrew terminology, it wouldn't even be helpful, but the word is that's often used, evil, is actually chaos, sort of the chaos of the world. God uses chaos and redeems it for his own glory. And so I wanted to share that with you, just a brief word, as we spent this time in prayer tonight, that our God is in control, and that should give us comfort, and it should also lead us to pray. We can pray about these things. We can go to God about these things. It's not something that is foreign to God, not only to hear our prayers, but to give visitation to each one, to give showers and rain and so on, to send storm clouds, or to cease those things. And so we should be men and women of prayer in days when we face these things. In this case, it happened to be weather, but anything that we would face. I'd like to just close us with a word of prayer this evening. And again, I look forward to being back with you next week. God willing, we'll be looking at Revelation chapter 20 and be finishing that up pretty quick. And after that, I'm going to do something a little bit less traditional Bible study for a time. I'm probably going to do a series of looking at some key figures in church history, in a way tying that back to the Bible, certainly, but looking at their stories in a way that I think will be inspiring and helpful for us as a church, I pray. So if you'd bow with me. Is there a question? Brother. Yes, sir.
But yesterday, about 21 of us from this congregation ventured off on a trip.
Yeah, yeah.
We wound up at
Bryson City, wasn't it?
Well, it was in
Marshall.
Okay. We went to Bonnie and Clyde.
Yep.
Had a very nice meal.
Yep.
But we had the big thing was we had a great fellowship. The Christian fellowship is a great part.
Amen.
And prayed to God that he certainly blessed us with good weather on the way there and
clear weather on the way back.
And waited until we got back before we.
Is that right? Is that right? Yeah.
God is good.
Amen.
All the time.
Amen. You all have another event coming up, don't you? September?
Okay.
Okay. Okay. But amen. Certainly God's blessing. And there might be many of you. I mean, you think about all those people on a bus, right? That'd be a frightening thought. You're running. You can't even turn that thing around on a road. But some of you other might have had some of those things. Bob. Someone else's shed floated over, huh? Isn't it Finders Keepers? Isn't that the... Okay. Yeah. Our neighbor down below us, they have a horse sort of pasture. I don't know, maybe it's a couple acres or something. Joy would, she's been down, she would know better than me. But it turned into a lake. Left fish and crawfish behind, and stuff. They call them crawdads here. All right, yeah. But left some fish and stuff, and we were curious what kind of fish they were. I was thinking about going down there and getting them. But anyway, it's something else, isn't it? Anyone else that would like to share? I mean, I thought that, you know, by all means I would close, but by all means, if there's someone else who would like to share about their experience. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our God in heaven, we are reminded today by your word, just looking at it very briefly, God, we could look at so many other places. Indeed, I would say the whole of your Bible makes this declaration, God, the way that you are in control, that you are God after all, God, that you are the King, that you are the Lord, and that includes things like weather. That includes the big things and the small things, and Lord, I pray that that would draw us closer to you in prayer, in adoration, in worship, Lord, but that you would grant us confidence, Lord, as we face challenging things. And I think about different people in different parts of the country and the world right now. Oh God, we pray your hand of comfort over them. For this family, I believe she said in Michigan, Lord, that is suffering through a loss of a loved one, I pray your hand of comfort over them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great night.